Welcome to this new episode of the Smart and Sustainable City podcast. Copenhagen, the capital of Denmark, has a little over 630,000 inhabitants and is often quoted to be one of the leading smart cities in Europe. Today we talk with Marius Silvestersen. Marius is the Smart City Program Director for Copenhagen. We discuss the smart steps taken by Copenhagen to address their main city challenges. We talk about the value of experimentation in their downtown city lab and about the value of public-private partnerships to accelerate Copenhagen's resilience and sustainability.
My name is Marius Silvestersen. I'm the manager of the Copenhagen Solutions Lab, and we're the X Lab for smart city and digital innovation within the city of Copenhagen. It's very livable. It's easy to get around. It's green. It's invitating. It's easy to get around. It's easy to meet people. There's a nice, relaxed vibe.
The choice of the city has been to really develop a multimodal mode of transportation with places for pedestrians, for bikes, for a fast metro, actually, between the airports and the downtown.
Exactly. So I guess what is very characteristic in Copenhagen is the way that the city and the city planning has not taken as point of departure of the car, but has taken as point of departure of the individual citizen on foot or on a bike, actually. So the whole infrastructure is built around these modes of transportation. But now biking is becoming so popular that we need to also work with new ways of managing and controlling the bike infrastructure, because even a bike lane can get cluttered with many cargo bikes and stuff like that. So we're actually expanding the width of the biking infrastructure these days.
What I really liked about what you said earlier is that Copenhagen is putting the citizens at the center of its thinking process on how to become smarter. And that has affected the way you plan and deploy your mobility approach in the city. Does that influence also some other projects that you're trying to drive forward?
Yeah, so I would say that in Denmark and in the Nordics as a whole, we have a long history of having almost like a day-to-day interaction with the citizens. So there's a lot of local democracy. We try to listen to what goes on in the population and try to, whenever we do planning processes, we involve them in different ways. It's very important for us as planners and as cities to have this voice as strong as possible, because it gives us a sense of direction on how and where to develop our cities. My dream is actually to, on top of like the normal analog citizen engagement, having hearings, public meetings, stuff like that. We do that a lot, but using some of the digital developments to give us the opportunity to work with citizens in other ways. So we ask the citizens of Copenhagen to just go to a website and put like a small colored dot on a map of Copenhagen, the places where they felt that there were too many bikes on the bike lanes. And actually that gave us around 1,000 data points in 10 days or so from many different citizens that wanted to show us where we should direct our attention when we wanted to develop the biking infrastructure.
So you're using citizens' dialogue to actually feed into the city planning and the city evolution. That's true for bike lanes, but it is also true for air quality monitoring and desire from citizens to breathe a better air, right?
Yeah, and also giving the corona situation. So we want people to be outside. So if they want to meet, it's better for them to meet outside. So we tried to see, could we use some of the road that is laid out for parking spaces? Could we use that temporary in such a way that if you have a cafe or a restaurant, you could move actually your tables outside? So taking some of the road back to the citizens and trying to have a nice dialogue there. You know, I mentioned it's sunny in Copenhagen. People want to be outside. Can we encompass for even more people out in the urban environment by using some of the parking spaces for restaurants?
There are also a movement towards LED lighting to help alleviate the energy consumption of traditional lighting. Can you tell us a little more about this?
Yes, so lighting is so important. It consumes a lot of energy, and also lighting can be used for many things. It can be used for road safety, it can be used for ambience, for guidance, road finding, stuff like that. So I guess back in the days, you thought about lighting infrastructure, just lighting up the roads, but now it serves a lot of purposes. And we changed a lot of the lighting infrastructure in Copenhagen some years ago. And of course did a tender, and part of the tender was to, it sounds pretty simple, but I think it's very important to make certain that the physical infrastructure, the lighting infrastructure, is actually geared for the future. The discussion around IoT and smart city was a bit immature perhaps, and we were not certain what types of infrastructure we needed to place into the lighting infrastructure. So we made certain that at least it was possible to install sensors and other types of measurement equipment into the lighting infrastructure just by simply having hollow poles. So every seven pole in the city is hollow in such a way that you can actually refurbish it with IoT and devices and stuff like that. So it's pretty basic, but it's very important because that infrastructure will be there like for 50 or 100 years. So if we don't try to foresee the use cases of a smart city, then it would be difficult to use that infrastructure also for other use cases. It's LED amateurs now, so it saves a lot of energy, and it's also adapting to the actual lighting conditions. So it's not just it switches on when it's dark. It has sensors to actually monitor what lumen it should be using to have like a safe but also a nice ambience in the cityscape.
So the luminaires or the lighting poles are more than just lighting poles. They're actually a beacon for potential infrastructure to support IoT and edge sensing of maybe in the future some air quality or some traffic in the street or temperature or other conditions that might want to be monitored.
Exactly. Because one of the big barriers for smart city is not like it's not IoT technology and stuff like that. It's just getting access to power, having physical placements in the city that are accessible for the municipality. So pretty mundane stuff that actually can put a great strain on our project. So sometimes when you speak about IoT and smart city, it seems that it's just like it's landing from the moon or from Mars. But actually we have to build it on existing infrastructure. So this gives us an opportunity to build infrastructure that we can build on in the future. So having these lighting poles is like it's like mandatory requirement for actually getting to the next level of digitalization in cities. So it's quite important. Technology is just an enabler for creating a livable city. So we tend to focus much more on the actual problem. So we want the city to be carbon neutral by 2025. We want to reuse much more of our waste. We want to have the mobility as seamless as possible, also including bikes and other means of transportation. And all these challenges is the main reason we get to work each day. And then we need to apply the right mix of technology, and that could be 5G and Wi-Fi and IoT sensors and blockchain and AI and stuff like that. That doesn't really matter, but we need to be able to decipher the problems facing cities globally and to transform that into new solutions, working closely with providers of technology and analytics.
I love that. So you're really focusing on the problem to be solved and the outcome for a better living condition for citizens and visitors in the cities. You were talking about mobility. I saw a statistic the other day that 40% of the car traffic in the city on average are people looking for a parking space. So I love the fact that you're also looking at how technology can enable a better parking environment and experience for citizens.
Yeah, it's an interesting case. So there has been a lot of focus on cars, and I guess for us, it's we want cars in and out of the city as fast as possible. So we don't want the drivers to roam around in the streets looking for available parking spaces. So we try to use actually the big data we have in the city in order to build an algorithm that could actually be laid out as an open API, meaning that we will give the companies supplying parking in the city of Copenhagen access to data on where there's available parking spaces. And fusing the data we had already with data on, so what's the weather going to be like? Is there any like big events downtown Copenhagen? Having all different data sources like melting into one algorithm and then laying it out as a free and open API. It's an interesting experiment in actually giving data back to the private side, to the service providers, because we don't want to build our own find a parking slot in Copenhagen app. We want that information to go into like the preferred apps that citizens are already using. So the whole philosophy behind that project was actually to make like a nice data foundation for supplying parking information in the city of Copenhagen.
And we talked about an open API, but this open API is enabling companies and organizations to connect to data. So does Copenhagen have an open data policy and open data layers available and reachable through this API then?
Yeah, we have. Actually, we have like a national project. Cities are driven by data. We are producing a lot of data. We wanted that data to be available for companies and for NGOs and for journalists to use the information that lies within these data points. And we didn't really want to work just with like one big company. We wanted to be part of the creation ourselves. So we formed a project and built this Open Data Denmark. It's thought out the way that each city that is on this platform, wants to be on this platform, they have their own portal, their own open data portal, and they can exhibit the data they want to exhibit. But then it's aggregated. So the data from Copenhagen is aggregated to the same portal as the data from Aarhus or one of the other cities in Denmark. So at the end of the day, you have an open data platform that has data from the entire nation, you know, like making it interoperable and making certain that we have the same standards and we can decipher what does this data point mean and what does it not mean. Back in the days, there was this idea that if you just made your data available, then it would spur a lot of creativity, innovation, and new applications. And at least the learnings from our side is that you need to be much more focused and you need to stimulate the marketplace and go out and say, so we have these major challenges. Could you use our data to build solutions targeting that the concrete problem? Because just having a nice open data platform doesn't necessarily mean that you get the applications and the solutions that you are looking for actually from the city side. So you need to be stimulating much more the environment and the companies and be a bit more strategic on the way that you are creating or trying to create value on top of the open data platforms.
And how do you stimulate that utilization of the open data sets that you have? Because I've been talking to a number of cities that have a few hundred open data sets, and they're having some challenges stimulating the economical sector to use those data sets. So what are you doing to create that stimulation?
It's like, I guess the most interesting things about cities is that we are actually the owners of a lot of very difficult, complex problems in the world today. So we're just speaking about Corona. So it's a big problem in cities. The green transition, so much of the pollutants that are in cities, and cities are creating more pollution. The mobility is creating pollution, stuff like that. So I guess cities, they need to make certain that these problems will be formed as a driver for the private sector. And at the moment, we tend to be a bit too shy to talk about what is difficult in our city. So my vision is to actually turn the city inside out, so to speak, to make it possible for companies to be much closer engaged with what goes on in the city. I guess the way we think about it is that we need to build public-private partnerships around these challenges. So we can't just exhibit data and then cross our fingers and hope for something to happen. We need to form partnerships around these challenges and in that way stimulate. And of course, we need investment into that as well. So speaking to pension funds, speaking to large investors, speaking to large companies and to private foundations, that's mandatory in order to create a nice flow of investments into some of these challenges that we're working with. So that would be my short answer. It's not simple, but I think it's working much more than just exhibiting data and hoping for something to happen. Actually, to carve out some of the most crucial challenges and trying to infuse them with the relevant infrastructure, the relevant funding, and the relevant partners.
Marius, that is a very interesting insight. So you actually recognize the need for private companies to develop business, to develop their organization, and ultimately to make a profit. And in order to create that ecosystem, you're suggesting that public-private partnerships is a good way to foster that collaboration, to address some of the city's core needs, and to ensure that the private sector is actively engaging.
I would say it's the only way. So some of these challenges that are facing the world today, they are so complex and expensive and difficult to solve. So I wouldn't envision that cities alone would be able to solve them. So cities, we have a lot of infrastructure. We have an idea of what quality of life is, how we want to evolve our cities. But actually solving the problems is, I guess, difficult for us, especially talking about new technologies, AI, blockchains, these types of magic. We need the private sector to chip in on that. I guess the best way of going about it is to make certain that we have platforms and labs and juridical constructions that makes it possible for us to invite the industry side to work on these issues. And it's a big driver for the private sector as well. Because sometimes even large companies, clever people, they come to me and say, so we have this wonderful platform. It's a big data platform. And sometimes I ask them, so what does it actually do? And they say, well, it does it all. And it's too broad to create value. We need to narrow in on different use cases and different scenarios in order to do real innovation.
And Marius, to validate some of those use cases, Copenhagen has created an amazing Copenhagen Street Lab that enables you to put in motion some of those use cases and to really understand the outcome that they generate for the citizens. Tell us a little more about the Street Lab.
Yeah, so the idea was to build a lab that could engage private companies, large companies and startup companies, working on city challenges, and we built it downtown Copenhagen because that was like a realistic environment. People live there and work there in their cars and stuff. So we tried to build a lab where the actual problems were, and I guess the lab was realized in a partnership with some larger companies, Cisco, the American IT company, TDC, which is a Danish telecom, Citilum, which is a French lighting company. They have access to power. That's very important, obviously. So they were supplying actually the backbone infrastructure of this lab, making it possible to do development projects. And then we actually onboarded smaller companies. Smaller companies, they are more innovative. We invited companies to work on smart parking, on smart waste, on measuring air quality, and on doing plant management. So how do you use sensors in order to monitor whether the trees would need to be watered in the next couple of days? And the whole idea is to test out technology and see if it's actually solving these problems and then getting it into scale. So we're taking a lot of learnings in the lab, but also trying to build on the learnings and say, oh, how can we roll out a citywide measurement of air quality? So we had some measurement down in Street Lab. We had a couple of sensors placed in this area, and then we found out, so this air quality problem, it's a very local problem. So how do we actually measure each and every street in Copenhagen? And we thought about, would it be possible to have like a mobility component? Could we drive around with sensors? And then we build on top of the learnings from Street Lab and reach out to Google and formed a partnership with them because they have a nice infrastructure because they have the Google Street View car. And that is fine-tuned with an algorithm. So we are certain that this car is measuring in all the streets of Copenhagen and supplying us with a nice map, heat map, so to speak, of where is the pollution in Copenhagen, what is the quality of the air in different parts of the city in different neighborhoods. So it's just a nice example of having like a small startup company supplying sensors that can measure air quality, and then saying, how do we get that to scale? Now we know that sensors are working. They are like, it's a nice, strong technological paradigm that can actually measure air quality quite accurately. But how do we get that to scale? How do we move these sensors about the cityscape? And then we onboarded new partners and made certain that we have this infrastructure that Google was supplying.
So you mentioned Google, Cisco, CityLoom. The Street Lab is not just a room. It's actually big enough to be representative of the larger projects that you want to run in the city. So what's the space actually? It's a few streets, it's a few blocks in the city?
Yeah, so it's actually a large area. So it starts from the city hall and encompasses this like nice open space, and then we have a very busy road, maybe even one of the busiest roads in the nation state of Denmark. It's called Hans Christian Andersen Boulevard, so named after the fairy tale writer. And I guess there's like around 60,000 cars on that road each day, so it's quite busy. But we also have smaller roads that are fitted to bikes and pedestrians. So it's a nice mixture of different urban environments, and that gives us the opportunity to test in a very realistic environment where we have like busy roads and pedestrian roads, and we have like open spaces, more defined spaces, and everything in between.
So you test use cases, you kind of do a proof of concept in a real life environment with real people, real traffic, and then companies have the hope that they can develop what they enabled in the Street Lab on a broader scale. Are there any examples of projects that were started in the Street Lab and that then expanded in Copenhagen and maybe in the rest of the country?
Yeah, so for instance, I mentioned smart waste. So mounting sensors in waste bins in the city to reverse the route planning. So we now do route planning by having data points from the garbage bin and then doing the layout of the route on top of that data. And that started out around 3-4 years ago now in Street Lab, working with like a handful of different suppliers of sensors within the waste domain. And then we scaled it to a problem area of the city, because having a lab is intelligent, but sometimes the problem is not in the lab. It's residing somewhere else, and the problem of waste and litter in the city was not really in Street Lab. It was somewhere else. So we expanded the project to a larger part of the inner city. It's called here in Copenhagen the pizza route, because people are drinking beers and eating pizzas at night and just like forgetting all about the leftovers from that. So the city can be a bit dirty in these neighborhoods. And now it's going to large scale, covering most of the city, using the knowledge and some of the experience we had testing that small scale down in Street Lab. And also the companies matured in the process. So actually, one of the initial companies testing in Street Lab, they won the tender in the end. So they had grown the company and had some very compelling use cases from around the world. And in the end, they were actually able to win this tender.
So the city and the government is keeping some budget aside to test some of those use cases in the Street Lab. Is that right?
So actually, the budget are allocated to the different verticals, to the different domain areas. So waste would have their own budget and other parts of the city would have their own budget. And I guess that's the right way to do it, because you shouldn't. So we're the people doing some of the innovation, but we shouldn't have the money. So the money should sit where the problem sits, because the problems owners are the ones that are able to make the right investment. So we need to kick out some ideas. We need to do innovation, and we need to form public-private partnerships. But at the end of the day, of course, there should be like a normal tender, making certain that we get like the best quality to the lowest price point. And the real experts there are, of course, the people who are responsible for waste in Copenhagen. So they have the budget, and they should have the budget always and in the future. But we should reserve some smaller funding for actually testing out both technology and different paradigms within technology, but also for forming some of the partnerships and more or less maturing the market. I guess companies, they need to be able to supply a nice fitting solution, they need information, they need to work with some of these challenges. And a nice way of going about that is to inviting them into innovation processes in labs in cities.
Great. Nordic cities do get together from time to time. The next big event is going to be the NSC 2020, hosted in Copenhagen on September 3rd.
We are learning a lot from our sister cities as well. Copenhagen is not the best in one thing, but I guess we have a pretty decent match of competencies. The most important thing when trying to engage in dialogue with cities is to actually put the human individual in the center of the planning processes. It can seem trivial, but at the same time, many cities around the world are investing heavily into technology, and I'm not certain they are talking about what is the quality of life for the individual citizen. I guess that should be the center of attention at all times, and then different types of infrastructure and technology would be an enabler for that. But starting out with a citizen-centered paradigm is crucial to create livable cities. At least that's our philosophy.
Marius, what biggest problems do you feel cities face today that will be solved for the most part within the next 10 years?
Some years ago, we were so worried about the ozone layer. I guess in the next 5 or 10 years, we will be as worried or perhaps even more worried about the quality of air in our cities and in our nations. So right now it's a very difficult subject matter. It's almost rocket science, you say. So it's a very local phenomenon. It has to do with small particles. How do they cling to each other? When do they enter our human body? Stuff like that. But it's a huge problem globally. And even though it's not the biggest problem in Copenhagen, our citizens they are so worried and they are so eager to know more about the situation, and I guess the same goes for the political level. They want to make certain that we have clean air in our neighborhoods, and they are willing to invest in that. So I guess that is really a global problem that we have just seen the top of the iceberg, and I'm hoping some of these small steps that we are taking in Scandinavia could be of inspiration to the rest of the world, trying to really understand and work with that problem.
Marius Silvestersen, Smart City Program Director for the City of Copenhagen. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Smart and Sustainable City podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. If you're responsible for a smart city initiative, do reach out.